Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Welcome back to our Schmigadoon breakdown. It's our season series finale, maybe.
Maybe? Who knows?
Maybe. We'll see if there's a season or series two.
We'll see.
This is the penultimate episode, or the final episode, and it's the final episode. It felt a little rushed and like everything was tied up a little too neatly with a bow. Probably the weakest episode.
Yeah. I liked it, but I mean, I thought it was a good conclusion, considering what the setup was.
Yes, I agree. Like,
I think this, if the setup was different, I'd probably be a little disappointed. But I think overall it did a decent job, given what the restrictions were as COVID was getting bad. So,
yes, and that's understandable. It almost made me wish this was a day and date, like kind of all the episodes premiered at once as opposed to weekly. I know that kind of kept it in the conversation, but I would have much preferred to have watched this all in one go, and I feel like the ending wouldn't have felt as jarring to me as it did here.
Yeah, they're doing the Hulu model of like releasing it weekly, and it's like, I hate that. The Netflix model is everything goes out at once, unless it's a garbage reality show.
There is something to say about like how The Mandalorian does it and how the Marvel shit always stays in the news all the weeks. And Schmigadoon did that. It's just this show felt like it would have been better in a full meal as opposed to having a bunch of snacks.
Yeah, it did well in a marketing sense.
Yes.
But in terms of storytelling, I think you could have maybe released two at once and come off slightly better.
I almost think it would have been fine the way it was and then release the series finale or the season finale as a one-hour epic. I feel like it would have flowed a lot better as that and make it a nice five-episode dealio.
Yeah. Also, the fifth episode felt like the first act of the finale.
Yes.
It didn't feel like a full act, like a three-act structure.
It didn't feel like a
story. Yeah. It felt like a first act setting up the second and third act that is the next episode, even though the third act is barely a third act.
I'm so glad we're in agreement here, because I thought we were gonna be on different sides here, because I see so many people like, that was a perfect finale! And I'm like, it was good! It did it.
I don't think it's a perfect finale. I think, I mean, I got teary-eyed a bit, I will confess. I connected with them at that point.
I did too. Like, the emotional connection is there, it doesn't tether that, it's just like, oh.
from like a storytelling filmmaking perspective, which is how we tend to think because we went to film school and it ruined our brains.
It did.
So we think, Jess and I think differently than your average viewer of a television
We're better than you is what we're telling you.
That is not what I'm saying. You're
Liz
about.
Is saying it.
Don't listen to Jess. He's lying.
You're not watching movies right because we went to school to learn how to watch movies correctly.
Yeah, I'm totally not the worst person to go to the movies with.
Oh, God. Yeah, I am.
Don't go to the movies with us, guys, ever.
I can't imagine what you and I would be like in a movie theater together.
Oh, God. I didn't major in film. I was in, like, more commercial filmmaking,
right.
Like, studying, so I'm a little less pretentious than your average film student.
You know what I did? You want to know how bad I am? My girlfriend and I were watching The Conjuring, and I was like, oh, that's a cool, like, cowboy shot right there. She's like, what the fuck does that mean? So Patrick Wilson gets pulled into a wall and then falls down it. Then you see his stunt actor get pulled from that same position. He was already placed there. I was like, that's not Patrick Wilson. That was, though. And, like, I can see how the change from stuntmans go. Anytime you see an actor walk out of frame and then jump into frame and do something dangerous, stuntman, change.
Oh, yeah.
Can't watch Elf without, like, pointing out, all right, Will Ferrell, different, that's not Will Ferrell.
And then Miranda was like, fuck off.
Now she's like, ah, great. She's very nice about it. But.
God bless her.
I did just kind of stop the movie to explain how it's all fake.
Like, my boyfriend majored in marketing and took some film classes, like, not as many as I did, obviously, so we're both kind of on the same wavelength.
Yes.
So that really does help us watch movies, because we're kind of in agreement most of the time.
Well, Miranda has some acting training and all that.
Yeah.
So she does act in a lot of my movies, and before she did that, she's like, I used to just enjoy it, and you've ruined movies for me, because now I'm just looking for things. She's like... Because I told her, anytime there's a close-up, it's going to be something important because they wouldn't have set up that shot unless they really wanted the audience to know it. She's like, it really just kind of ruins how it's all just a machine. If there is a close-up, I know it's going to be a Chekhov's gun thing. Like, I hate it.
Yeah. It's just you think differently. It's weird.
It's all a math problem at a certain point. That's all editing and filmmaking is figuring out the mathematical conclusion to, like, all these pieces. Like the snowman. Like, how do you put those pieces together to make it my ex-girlfriend's husband murdered?
That's another story alert for the snowman, if anyone cares.
We talked about it last episode. If they're this far, they know.
That's true. We did talk about it last week. I will say, I think Get Out is what taught people that everything in filmmaking is deliberate, and it's like, oh, yeah, they picked all that on purpose. Like, that's for every movie ever, so I think it did. It taught at least my parents that.
Okay, maybe your parents, but I'm like, I can think of, like, 100 other films that did that.
Yeah,
you know, the Kuleshov effect, that's a pretty important one.
I mean, I know what the Kuleshov effect is, but it's just a stupid effect.
I mean, it's an effective one, and one that I use when I teach film to, like, layman's of, like, how editing works. That is the basics of editing. You put this face against anything, you will imply your own meaning to it. That is what editing is. And, like you, if we bring up Liza Minnelli, then you bring up a picture of Liza Minnelli, turns on a light. That is a connection.
Yeah, I could have just done an interview with Liza Minnelli, but no.
Exactly.
Liza Minnelli tries to turn off a lamp. The greatest SNL sketch of all time.
You've done a lot of video essays, editing before. And that's the difference between what we do and it's all about knowing your audience. Whereas we are kind of a less serious type thing. Doing something like that is much more apt and much more appreciated. Whereas if you're doing a more serious journalistic type video, you probably would prefer to do a video or an interview with Liza Minnelli.
Yes.
So it basic editing choices impact both your genre, your tone, and your overall stylistic choices. People always give editors, like, the raw hand in every single form of media, and I think it's bullshit.
Sorry,
that was my soapbox here to show Liz does a lot of work, and you should respect her craft, goddammit.
Was anyone disrespecting my craft?
I mean, yes, but we won't talk about that. Let's talk more about Schmigadoon.
Oh, God. Tell me more later.
There's only two songs, and I think that's the average for most episodes, is like two-ish songs. The main one, which is kind of the payoff to the entire story, which is You Make Me Want to Sing, which is Keegan-Michael Key. Very charmingly, singing
very
poorly.
I liked it.
I liked it. It was cute. Would have been better if he sang better, but I get it.
Yeah, the point, I think he can sing. We learned that in the prom.
I mean...
Yeah, he can kind of sing. He learned that in the prom. let me clarify.
He can sing pretty well for a Detroiter, yeah.
Yeah. I don't... Dear Lord. I don't know if that's Detroit slander or not, but I don't live there, so...
I do, so I can slander Detroit all I want. You know, Keegan-Michael Key is like the one guy we have. You know, the Detroit parades, they bring him out. He's on his own parade float. He's literally, every year, there is a parade, and Keegan-Michael Key has his own fucking float. Because Detroit, we've got one guy.
Yeah.
Him and Eminem.
Yeah, I have Bam Margera.
See, last week you weren't gonna tell people where you live. Now you just did.
Yeah, I basically did. But yeah, who cares? No one knows where I actually live.
Not even me.
Yeah, that's on purpose.
I think the scene's cute. Yeah. Cecily Strong's acting chops in the monologue that builds up to it, like that, broke
love
my
her.
Heart.
I love Cecily Strong. Like she deserves. I've only seen her in SNL, like your average person. Yeah. I think she has strong enough chops to make it outside of it, which has
she
not
was
been...
my favorite part of the Ghostbusters remake.
But, no, that was Kate McKinnon.
She was the mayor's aide in the Ghostbusters
remake. Oh, she was the mayor's aide.
And she's so fucking funny in that movie.
I forgot everything in that movie.
I actually like that movie a lot. And she's very, very funny in it.
I like that movie. I defend it a bit. It's not a great movie, but I think it's important to have, like, young children, usually young women, like, see females in an action movie, like, conquering something. Like, that's really empowering.
I agree.
Especially when you're really young. Like, when I was young, I watched Kim Possible, which is very empowering. So
did I, but probably for the wrong reasons.
I mean, I wanted to be Kim Possible. I'm just Wade now, so.
I wanted to be Kim Possible, but I Ron Stoppable. I feel like that's my cosplay choice, too.
Yeah, I mean, you
Oh my god, are you Kim Possible and I'm Ron Stoppable? Is that the energy we're getting off here?
No, I'm Wade.
Does that mean Andrew's Kim Possible?
Yes, Andrew is Kim Possible. Or it's Bree.
Actually, Bree's Kim Possible.
Bree's Kim Possible, and then Andrew is the naked mole rat, if we're going on this metaphor.
No, he's Drago? Dragon?
He's the evil hench lady?
Who's the... Shigo. No, Bree's Shigo. Bree's Shigo,
Bree
Andrew's
Shigo.
Kim Possible.
He has the hair for it.
I don't care if it's stick figures. Draw that, please.
Oh god, there's not many pictures of me, so
come on. Follow her on Instagram.
If you can get past my private Instagram.
Oh my god. Here's the thing. If people are private on Instagram, maybe don't try to throw out that follower request. I say in response to people I know are my fans following my girlfriend on Instagram. Can we cool that for a bit? I love y'all, but she don't want none of this. She keeps out of it for many reasons.
Valid. I mean, I'm probably going to make a public Instagram at some point, so.
Did I ever tell you that's why I stopped doing the YouTubes for about 10 years or 5 years?
Because everyone's trying to follow you on Instagram?
No, because they started, which is fine, you're allowed to follow me on Instagram, but then they started following my friends and asking very personal questions about me and them and all that. And that was like a line crossed that I was a little too young to know how to handle, so I just kind of distanced until I felt emotionally, mentally, and mature enough to actually handle an actual fan base.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, yeah.
And I'm one of the few times I'm very proud of myself. I did a lot of things wrong in those early days. That was a right move.
Yeah.
Went to college, didn't think about it for a while, came back, and I was like, all right, let's try this for real this time.
Yeah, I mean, I got on this YouTube game pretty late in my life, but I've been watching, like, but I'm just an editor. No one really knows I exist.
Let me just say this. There was a time where I had double the subscribers as Christy of Musical Hell, and I was building her up. And now things have changed a lot, and I love it. The way the world is supposed to be right now.
Yes, yes. Bless you, Christy. You're amazing.
We love you, Christy. I will take a million bullets for you.
Christy, I love you.
Christy is one of the few real ones where I don't think she has a single fault.
Yeah. Okay, I've been a big fan for years now, so.
I got to be a fan of her as a human being before I got to be a fan of her work, which was a wonderful experience and one of the few things I was very lucky to be. Back to Schmigadoon.
Schmigadoon
rocks. All the emotions in this scene really, really sell. Like the goofy ones, like the Fred Armiston ending up with Alan Cumming and both of them leaving their respective wives.
It's like Fred Armisen is just like very matter of fact with the two. He's like, I am also a homosexual.
I almost cried when like Alan Cumming said, and I'm in love with Mayor Manlove, and I was like
my heart. I was doing all there's a lot of tears during that. I was just like, oh my god. Also, like, there's this like idea that they shouldn't end up together, but that entire scene justifies it completely to where I'm not even gonna argue with it. I'm just like, okay.
Because it makes it seem like they're both willing to put the work into the relationship, which wasn't apparent before. They both think it was worth putting the effort in.
Yeah, the entire point of the last episode is basically, like, her learning not to control him and him learning not to control her, but adapting to each other, you know? Mm-hmm. Also, Josh caring.
Yeah, I mean, Josh and singing, like, meeting her halfway and singing for her.
Yeah. It really just expresses that relationships are hard, and as a person that's been in a long-distance relationship for, I don't know, 75% of my relationship, I feel it on a daily basis, so...
Relationships are hard, but after a while, once they get them working, it's worth it and it's easy. Yeah. It feels easy to do everything that everyone says you should do.
Yeah, like, even when you, like, don't... You live near your partner, mm-hmm. so you have a different, like, way you approach it than I do, but I talk to him every day, I call him whenever I can, I see him whenever I can, and it's, like, not something I ever stress about. It's like, okay, it's all gonna be fine. It's not hard to talk to him, because I love talking to him. So.
I get it. I get
Once you work a flow out, then it's like nothing.
It's part of life. I don't think I could emotionally handle long distance. That sounds very hard, but you guys seem very healthy despite it all.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. I won't say it's not. I won't say it's easy, but it's like, we're working towards getting to a place where we're not, which is what we have to do right now. So. Mm-hmm.
Relationships are hard. Maybe you guys should settle down in Schmigadoon, where you pay 50 cents for a hotel room.
I mean, we're both pretty broke, so that might be a good idea.
Honestly, that's all I was thinking about. Man, it would be pretty cheap to live in Schmigadoon.
Yeah, I can work in Schmigadoon, but I'd figure something out.
I don't care. Like, I can put on one-man shows.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I could, like, massage the mayor's feet, whatever.
Yeah, Mayor Menlove would love that.
Yeah, or I could be, or even bark at a carousel. But of course it takes talent to do that well.
Or become the new kid, the new character that yells the news to everybody.
Oh yeah, it's the mayor! How did I do? Did I get the job?
I think you got the job.
Gee, thanks. Thanks, sister!
You got it, bro. Jesse is my brother.
Yes, we do have that energy. Strangely, me and Bree do not have sibling energy. I don't know what our energy is. It's me and Andrew have like weird sibling energy. Me and you have weird sibling energy. I don't know what the energy between me and Bree is. I don't think it's sibling, but it's definitely an energy that is very platonic, but very like, how do you describe it?
Friendship?
No, because it's deeper than friendship, more personal than friendship, but different than brother.
Hmm.
Like, I don't know. Cousin. I'll call it cousin, because you don't see him every day.
Yeah, very close cousin.
A very, very close cousin, yeah. or like a family friend that's been there since infancy. I describe it as that. Like, yeah. One that's like, when you see them, it's very, very good, and you know every thing, and you want to catch up, but it's not like y'all talk every day.
Oh, yeah.
Back to Schmigadoon.
Schmigadoon.
I really, really love the ending song. The change, how we change finale. It reminds me a lot of, like, Sondheim-y, like, melodic shit.
I got the Sondheim vibes, but it was also giving me... I hate to say this. It was giving me Let It Grow vibes.
Let It Grow. I mean, he did write that
he
that
wrote
musical.
Let It Grow, so it wasn't wrong, but it was giving me Let It Grow vibes, and I was like, oh no.
I will say that is the one good song that ended up in The Lorax.
I would argue it's the reprise called Let It Die.
Let it die, let it die, let it shrivel up and die. Was that Nick Kroll?
That was Nick Kroll. Or no, Rob Riggle.
Nick
Kroll wasn't famous enough in 2012. So
dang, John Mulaney would have been great as the Onceler.
He would have been the best Onceler. Oh my god, he would have
John Mulaney and Nick Kroll.
Oh my god, that would have been so good. I'd watch that. I'd actually watch that. Yeah. And also having the child being played not by like a 26-year-old man would help a lot.
Okay, let's remake The Lorax right here. Finn Wolfhard as the little boy.
Yes. Audrey. We need a girl.
Oh, do we need one?
If we're going to remake it accurately, we have to include the girl.
Remake it accurately? No, I'm cutting the girl. That subplot's stupid.
Alright, we're cutting it.
Cutting Taylor Swift out of the movie. I'm sorry.
Alright, Betty White is still the grandma.
Yeah, you gotta keep Betty White.
Jenny Slate is still the mom. She did good, too.
Yes, I would keep that and keep it familial. Make it about like his connection with the grandma more. This is becoming Make Me a Musical very, very quickly, but I'm into it. Make it about like, hey, grandma, in my days, I saw trees. And make the grandma a character in the flashbacks. We should show the grandmother be...
Wait, who's going to play the young grandma?
Jenny Slate. Just keep her.
Yeah, Jenny Slate can be the mom and the grandma.
Yeah, that makes sense, right? Logically, that makes sense to my brain.
It makes sense to me, at least. Wait, who's the Lorax? Is it still Danny DeVito?
Danny DeVito, you can't change that. Come on.
I mean, no.
That's stellar casting.
I love Danny DeVito, but he sounded like a mob boss.
Hey, you cut down this tree.
I imagine the Lorax. I read the book a lot as a kid. It was my favorite doctor. It's my favorite Dr. Seuss book. I imagine the Lorax is like some wise old man telling me that nature is cool.
Who? Ian McKellen?
Yeah, that'd be good. Or Danny DeVito. Either one.
Yeah, I'm sticking with Danny DeVito. Sorry.
That's fine. But we just have to lean more into the mob boss angle.
Oh wait,
maybe.
No, I've got another one. Just 'cause mustache. Nick Offerman.
Perfect.
Keeping Nick Offerman.
Nick Offerman. He's perfect. He can be blunt as hell. Yes.
Yes. Hey, you cut down this tree. My tree!
And maybe Danny DeVito can still be in the movie as, like, the Lorax's henchman.
Yeah.
So we can still have Danny DeVito.
The Bobbaloop suits bears.
Yeah, he's one of the bears who's, like, working for the Lorax.
I think John Mulaney as the Onceler. Hello, absolutely. Mr. Lorax. How are you doing? Hello there, John Mulaney. I'm Nick Offerman. I'm the Lorax. And well, hello, little man.
And I hate the government.
You know what? Capitalism is bad, unless you're me, John Mulaney.
John Mulaney believes in capitalism. This is a new theory.
You know... Being monogamous with your wife is great, unless you're me, John Mulaney, and then I think I should fuck Olivia Wilde, or Olivia whatever her name is.
Olivia Munn.
Olivia Munn. You know, that girl from Attack of the Show.
Olivia Wilde is fucking Harry Styles, so.
Oh, he should be the boy then.
Oh yeah, that'd be even better. He can sing.
Well, if we're really caring about who can sing, Taron Egerton.
That's true.
Either way, let's go see our version. No, Danny DeVito gets to play O'Hare. We're kicking out Nick Kroll.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's better. I like that better. At least we're in the mob boss thing.
Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed this minor reboot of Make Me a Musical we just conjured up. This was unscripted.
I love it. I love this so flippin' much.
Anyway, Schmigadoon. is a thing we're supposed to be talking about.
This but ending anyway. Was satisfying, and all parties were happy. I mean, this is connected, because the guy that wrote Schmigadoon also wrote the music to The Lorax.
Yeah, so the Let It Grow vibes, it made sense to me, because he wrote Let It Grow. So I was like, okay, maybe he'd put a little Let It Grow, and maybe a little bit of... I couldn't put my finger on like the Sondheim connection right away.
It just reminded me of Sunday in the Park with George. With
which
Sunday,
I yet to watch, bye. So...
Oh, that show, I feel like you and I are going to disagree on that show. That's one of my favorite musicals of all time. I literally have the Sunday poster hanging here that I look at whenever I get sad. I would be very interested to hear your opinion on Sunday.
I'm definitely going to watch it at some point. I just haven't gotten to it. I'm very behind on musicals, in general.
Yeah, I don't like musicals, Jess. I really don't.
No, I like musicals. I watch more horror movies than musicals on an average day. So.
I do too. I'm excited to see Candyman these days. I'm just terrified of Delta variant.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I don't. Maybe it depends on how my county's doing. But.
I'm going to risk it for Dear Evan Hansen because I've got on good authority by my hope in humanity that theater's going to be empty.
Yeah, I saw. I saw The Suicide Squad in theaters with my boyfriend. It was just the two of us. So.
Yeah, I saw it twice. Once my girlfriend on opening night, and it was half full, and everyone kept their distance. Second day, with my father, and literally only one other person in the theater. It was great.
Yeah, it was good. Great movie, by the way.
Yes, watch it on HBO Max if you got a chance, because it is A+. A+.
Is it still on there? Am I gotten removed?
Oh, no!
Well, it'll be on demand. It'll be back on HBO Max in 2 months, maybe.
Yeah, I know, but so I want to watch it now.
Yeah, my sister asked me when I saw her recently. She was like, "Is In the Heights still on HBO?" It's like that was 2 months ago, honey. you gotta wait now.
But do you think they were able to cross the bridge? I think they cut it the way they did. So if they really wanted them to stay in Schmigadoon, they could.
I think they crossed the bridge. But I just think because of the story, I think season two, if there is a season two, it shouldn't be about those two. We close the chapter. They're good. They can make a cameo in season two as like they can come visit. Maybe they have free pass to visit Schmigadoon and leave as they please.
Or it's a come from away situation where they go to honeymoon in Schmigadoon.
Oh, yeah, that'd be so cute. I think the next season should be about a different era of musicals. Maybe, the weird drug era, if we're going for weird shit.
Oh, God. I think he announced if he were to do season two, it's going to be Stephen Schwartz and Stephen Sondheim.
Which is, yeah, I agree. That's a good way to go. I think it should be about a different couple, and I think they should be gay. And that's all I have to say.
I don't think it should be a couple. I think it should be family. An entire family coming in, because Sondheim really likes that. But
Sondheim does love families.
Yeah. So I think a family would be the next logical step instead of couple relationships. Because there's so much more ground to play with, especially if they get a bigger budget where they can kind of make it twice as long and you can kind of get the daughter subplot, the brother subplot, the parents.
And then there's new characters entering just because.
Yeah. But I think we should keep our musical actors the same, Alan Cumming and Kristen Chenoweth and all that. Have you seen Miracle Workers?
No, the play or the movie?
I'm talking about the Daniel Radcliffe show. Steve Buscemi and all.
I thought you were talking about the.
Helen
Keller biopic.
No, I'm talking about Miracle Workers, where every season it's the same actors doing something brand new.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think is what I hope they would do here.
Yeah, I think they would
just
do that
hard
too.
Hard reboot.
And include some new people, presumably, because their budget will be bigger. Maybe more Jane Krakowski this time. Hopefully.
Is there anyone you wanted less of in this series now that we've reached the end?
I don't wanted less of. I can't say I wanted more of everybody. That
I think I
just
wanted
disappeared.
Less of Keegan-Michael Key, but he was very important for the Ariana DeBose section, who is my favorite part of this entire experience.
Ariana DeBose is my favorite person in this. I think maybe less of the Keegan-Michael Key being cynical thing. I agree with that. Kind of mess with the tone, but it was a good contrast. It was a nice break from the whole sentimentality thing. Which I think is nice, but it's also at some point, it's like, hey, the real world exists. Let's get back into it.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, I guess we are reaching the end of our Schmigadoon breakdown, which makes me a little sad because this was a lot of fun and I love doing it with you, Liz. I love doing a lot of things with you. You're such a fun person to hang out with.
Hope you guys liked me.
I hope you did too. If not, I'll fight you. I'll take you out behind the shed and I'll fight you.
Kick
you right in the teeth. Knock them two front teeth out.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Only the front one.
Okay, that's good at least.
Only the front ones. You're going to talk like, you know that Christmas song about wanting your two front teeth? I'm not stalling so Liz can find a cheese rating.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that you're doing. Okay.
But I love this show so much. And honestly, there's only one cheese rating I can give this because we've been thirsting real hard for Ariana DeBose throughout the entire thing. Did you watch the Wicked Live thing that they did a few days ago?
I did not. I was at the beach with my family at the time. So.
Oh, that sucks. You gotta hang out with your family. It's not even subtly an audition for the Wicked movie. It's not even like subtle about it. It's like, here's a group of very talented actors singing the songs. And some of it is like, oh, actual entertainment value. And then the rest of it is like, what would it be like if she was Elphaba? And I'll see what it would be like of that. And Ariana DeBose is the only one that acted her song, if that makes sense. Or Amber Riley knocked my socks off. Her voice is incredible. Oh. Cynthia Erivo, I'm in tears. But Ariana DeBose played the scene as if she were acting it. And she was the only one that did that, as well as she went up the octaves where she could and all that. She did all the theatery things that you'd expect. She did The Wizard and I in a way that she wasn't just like, The Wizard and I. She's like understanding what the lines mean, trying to deliver them as a character. And I'm like, she is the obvious choice. My girlfriend next to me is like, she didn't impress me. Amber Riley. And I'm like, come on. Follow me here, Jesus! Can't you agree with me on anything? And then,
so your cheese rating is Ariana DeBose playing Elphaba?
My cheese rating comes from a tweet that Ariana DeBose posted on November 4th, 2020, probably regarding the election that was happening at that time. And it says, I always liked Wisconsin cheese, so it can't be anything but Wisconsin cheese.
Valid.
All right, what is your cheese rating and overall thoughts?
Oh, I really like Schmigadoon. I think it did a lot really well. I think the songs are all charming, despite the Let It Grow vibes. That I was getting. That's not a bad thing, but still, to remind me the Lorax existed. So, no offense, you guys are very talented. Just the Lorax, not this is the best, guys. Anyway, I really like Schmigadoon. I think all the characters are great. I love all the actors. I mean, it was a nice break from the Cabaret video because I had to watch Alan Cumming play a guy with the cords on his balls and humping everybody. So. It's a nice break to watch him be a nice old gay man. Just like, I just want to be happy. Like, oh, thank God you're not humping everything in sight. Woo! So for my final cheese rating, because I'm new here and I'm allowed to do this, I'm going to give it cheddar.
What?! How dare you?!
And I am fired.
God, it was a good run. Thanks, Liz. Don't forget your complimentary care package on the way out.
Yeah, where is that, by the way?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's in the garbage.
Oh, good. Good. Like the rest of my life.
Anyway, sincerely, Liz, this was a lot of fun, and I'm glad you did this. I hope. I'm not actually fired.
Just to be clear.
No, you're not.
I'm not
you're
actually not. Fired.
No. I couldn't fire her if I wanted to. She knows too much.
I have all the secrets.
Yeah, she could blackmail me if she really, really wanted
to. I can make
a
twit longer and just expose you.
Jess is abusive, rude. He has never paid me a single compliment, and I really, really just don't like his vibe. I don't know what else you could say.
He asks
overly personal questions about my life, and even when I give vague answers, he still pushes for more specifics. Honestly, it makes me uncomfortable.
Okay, I wouldn't say that. I'm fine with that. I appreciate you getting to know me.
tells me a lot about his personal life, and I did not ask for this, honestly.
It's like I'm working for a friend. What is this garbage?
I text him and he doesn't reply for 3 to 5 hours.
Which is the thing.
Sometimes not at all.
Well, sometimes his notifications don't work for some goddamn reason.
Yeah, that was bad.
That was weird. Anyway, no, I have no slander against this man.
Yet.
Yeah, we'll see.
And also, it's not slander if it's true.
That's true. I have no bad feelings, no bad vibes. I'm very happy here. I'm very happy to be part of the Musical Cheese fam. I love you all. Thank you for your support.
Yes. I can't wait until we do our next thing and Liz will be present for it. It's going to be great. Cinderella next week.
Oh, God.
Or maybe it already happened. I don't know. Time is a flat circle.
Time is a flat circle. I'm very excited to see James Corden just constantly talk about his penis.
That was just the prom, right?
Yeah, no, there's a cinematic universe of James Corden being obsessed with his penis.
I hope it lives up to all the expectations of me wishing I was dead.
I hope it lives up to that 33% Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, it went up to 41.
Oh, that's not much better.
I mean, it's better than going down to 28.
I guess, but
is it higher than Suicide Squad?
I think it's lower than Suicide Squad.
Well, I mean, not the Suicide Squad.
Oh, no, it's probably higher than Suicide Squad. I don't remember.
I'm a bad Cinderella and I'm fair. 26 is Suicide Squad.
Ooh. Oh, God.
It's better than Suicide Squad.
Let's just listen to Andrew Lloyd Webber's Bad Cinderella. I'd rather do that.
No, thank you.
I mean, I'm still watching this movie, though. I'm committed.
Yeah, I'm committed. Suicide. All right, guys. We'll see you next time on Patreon with Cheese. Got anything left to say, Liz?
I hope you have a schmigadoon day.
Oh, my God. So embarrassing. All right. Bye, guys.
Goodbye. See you next time.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.